Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Guy Perry as my special expert guest. Guy Perry resides in South Ogden, Utah. He is CEO, president, and founder of Sporting Souls Incorporated, which operates three running specialty locations in Salt Lake City, Utah. Salt Lake Running Company was ranked in the top 50 running stores in America in both 2006 and 2007. Guy graduated with a BA in economics and psychology and a minor in coaching from Weber State University. Guy was a member of Weber State University's nationally ranked cross-country team, a Big Sky Conference track champion, and a member of the 1988 USA National Junior track team. Guy is a cancer survivor and has a fantastic story of recovery and courage. Guy is a board member of the Independent Running Retailer Association and is married to Debbie Perry with five children. Good morning, Guy, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Thanks, Corey. It's glad to be here.
Tracy and I had a wonderful time visiting with you and Debbie recently, and we came to really love Utah and the environment. But regarding yourself and your connection to the business that you're in, how did you wind up running and creating this running company and this retail outlet that is doing so well these days?
Well, I went to school. I just couldn't get a job. So I bought one, compliments of the local bank, with interest to boot, so to speak. So I was a good little boy, and I went to 4 or 5 years of college and participated in track and field, had a blast. Always had running as a passion, and in the local market, I felt like there was a need. I didn't really have any data to prove my need. I just kind of had a feeling. So a track team member and I decided as something to do, we'd pick up a little running store business. And that's where it started 13 years ago. He and I, and about a year into the business, he ended up chasing a dream that he had in the advertising world. And Debbie and I kind of went forward. And 13 years later, we have one store that's turned into three and a whole mess of trouble as a result on that. A lot of work, but a lot of fun. We have a lot of great customers, a lot of enjoyment in what we do, and a lot of passion that drives us in our daily lives.
Now, you live in Ogden, Utah. I wasn't really familiar with where that is, but what is life like there? What's it like climate-wise and running-wise? Is that a good environment for athletics?
It is. Ogden is slowly but surely becoming the outdoor recreation capital of Utah and the West Coast and even the United States. A lot of businesses related to the outdoor industry are slowly but surely moving to the Wasatch Front, which includes Salt Lake and Ogden, but a lot of them are ending up in Ogden proper. And great area for endurance sports, trail running, running, skiing, cross-country skiing and downhill, being in the outdoors, mountain biking, road biking, and kayaking, river rafting, all of the fun stuff that you read about in the magazines is daily life in Ogden. Subarus with bike racks, Subarus, and Jeeps with kayak racks and mountain bikes all over the place. And where we live is we have close access to the mountains and to the trails. And my wife and I, our life's, it's better than cable TV, you know, to be close to the trails. It's better than a lot of the technology that our life has brought to us. We have opportunities that a lot of people don't. And it's somewhat affordable compared to moving to Boulder, Colorado, or someplace in Southern California that might afford you the same opportunities. The climate is, we have four seasons of the year. And so if you enjoy change, which I do, you get 3 or 4 months, depending on the year, of each season. You get some transition between spring and summer, and some transition between fall and winter. And it's wonderful. The air quality is good. We have altitude, so elite athletes come in and out of town to train. They have access to 6,000 feet, which seems to be the magic number, and use that as a chance to get ready for competitions. And we also have a very strong running community as a result of Weber State and their athletic program that they've built over the years in track and field and cross country. So it's a very nice place to raise a family and to live. It's not where we do business, but it's a nice place to live.
Now, I think of you as a runner, and obviously you had some great success running, and running has been good to you, and I know that you still run today, but what are your thoughts on running in general? What does running mean to you as a sport, as a pastime, as a passion?
Well, running to me over the years has meant a lot of different things. At one point in my life, running was who I was. It was my person. And achieving the highest ranks I could, competing was what mattered to me. The truth is, I was a lot better runner in my mind than I actually was on the track. And as I look back over my career in running, there's definitely been some wonderful highlights. I've traveled the country, raced in some awesome, amazing places, had the opportunity to be on a United States team, and it was a thrill. But I was probably above average runner. I never went to the next level, even though I gave it a good go. And then cancer, which is something that kind of changed my life, it allowed me to look at running differently. And so after going through that type of situation, I looked at running as a form of health and relief from the health problems and the struggles that I was then having. And I went from being an elite athlete to somebody who had gained 50 pounds and was struggling to keep their body in line. I went from somebody who was working out on a daily basis to somebody who wasn't working out hardly at all because life just had its way of kind of rolling over me. And at that point, running became my escape, and it became a part of me that was grounded. Running to me is so simple. It's so wonderful. A couple pair of shoes and maybe some shorts on a nice day, it's really all you need. You hit the road, you hit the trail, and you just kind of escape from the world. And exercise, in my experience, is medicine. And this form of running that we utilize as medicine is very, very cheap, very, very efficient. It's a lot of bang for your buck. And in the world that I live in now, which is just a businessman and a father and a coach to a lot of people, so to speak, we use running as a means of making somebody a better person. You know, we don't have to run 120 miles a week to be classified as a runner. Somebody might run 2 or 3 days a week, 30 minutes at a time, in conjunction with some strength training or some cross training. And that's enough to change their life for the positive for a long time. And that's exciting to me.
Now, you've raised some thoughts in my mind. First of all, somebody walks in without a background in running, has developed an interest for whatever reason to take it up. Where do they start? You know, they come to you as a coach, and you've got all this expertise and knowledge in the gear and the shoes. And so what approach do you offer for that, you know, middle-aged person, maybe between 30 and 50, who wants to take up running? Where do they start, Guy?
Well, where I would start and where I do start with people when we work on that level with folks is we first start with the reality of the situation. And a lot of us, I guess, are just like me and you. We remember the days when we were young and robust and we could work out all day long and punish our body to no end and eat maybe whatever we wanted to eat. And we were thin and fit and fast anyway. And I always start telling people that our bodies, as we age, they change. And they're not as resilient as they used to be. And we can work on that if we choose to make that a priority, meaning we take care of our body's equipment needs, which always starts with running with shoes and apparel, making the experience very enjoyable. And then we look at the other things that can bring value. And one of the underrated things, and the reason probably you and I are talking, is the discovery that nutrition has in the power of people's lives. Even if they want to live a normal everyday life and just have quality of life, or if they want to compete at a high level. And then we talk about strength training and stretching and the value that that can add to our life as we age as well. And the three things, apparel and equipment and shoes, coupled with strength training and stretching, along with proper nutrition, really takes somebody who may be waning athletically and can make them a very solid athlete in the everyday sport of life, as you would say, Corey.
Yeah, right on. Well said, man. It's flowing through from the mind of an expert. It's amazing. I know I really enjoyed my experience in your store. And I want you now, if you might, talk about that biomechanical analysis. I had one, and I just think that is such a terrific service that you offer at no charge. What does that mean, and what do you discover through that analysis that you provide in your store?
Well, the main thing we're trying to do is educate the consumer as to what we're trying to do. There's a lot of misconceptions that happen in the world of marketing, in the world of advertising, that relate to biomechanics. And so what we're trying to do is get the customer on the same page as us. And the way we do that is we let them run on a treadmill. We give them shoes that just let their foot do what their foot naturally wants to do, something that we would call biomechanically neutral. And then we videotape from behind the action of the gait cycle as they run. Once they're done running for maybe 20 or 30 seconds tops, in slow motion we go back and review the video with them and show them what it's like to pronate or underpronate or supinate or overpronate and explain the terms. So that when we talk with them using those terms, they understand exactly what we mean. All of the shoes in the running world are built to control the foot to some degree or another, meaning they either control the foot not at all or they control the foot almost orthotically. And what we're trying to do in the store is using shoes and custom inserts, over-the-counter inserts, is to make a perfect match between their foot and the bottom of that shoe so that when their foot moves, the foot and the shoe move simultaneously as opposed to independent of each other. A lot of times people just get into any old shoe and their foot works in and of itself completely different than their shoe does. And what that does is it sets people up for injury problems. And the number one problem we have when people start running is after the thrill of running is sweeping through their mind and body, the first thing they encounter is an injury. And that's the last thing that we want to see our customers have to deal with, is having a setback that would interfere with consistency. Because from a coaching perspective, I've learned the value of consistency over the years. If I can keep somebody active, I can improve their performance faster and sooner than I can if somebody is in and out of activity over the course of days, weeks, or months.
Now, if somebody buys a pair of shoes and they don't correct their pronation or supination, what happens? What's the outcome of their running experience?
Well, the first thing we have to do is address the reality again, which is some people can get away with anything, and for whatever reason, they're the biomechanically, either they're so efficient that it doesn't matter, or their body is so supple and so resilient for some amazing reason that I've yet to understand, that they're fine. But the rest of us, the 99% of us, will have some type of injury, usually to the lower body. There's about 5 different common running injuries. We see them all day, every day. And they're usually related to repetitive exercise. Same thing every day, meaning I run the same mile route every morning at the same time, in the same shoes, on the same side of the road, in the same weather. And we get this concrete jungle that we live in causes repetitive stress that gives us a shin splint or patellofemoral syndrome or IT band syndrome or any number of things that could happen because of the impact, which is one thing. But the reality, it's more of a demand of the muscular system and the connective tissue that works with the bones because of the motion or the excessive motion caused by generally overpronation.
Okay, so now where does nutrition as a role connect with the correction of the running gait? You've got this person in the right shoes. What do you find people are eating? They're walking in the store. Are they into whole foods as a general rule? What is the nutrition status of most runners as a general observation?
As a general observation, they live the life that I once lived, and that's they live the American dream, and that's the fast food lifestyle. And runners have this hard-headed mentality that I can eat anything I want. My body's such an amazing machine that I can abuse it to no end, and I can perform on anything. And the reality is they may be able to do that, but I've learned through time and experience that they can't do that optimally. And I can say to somebody, you know, let's look at a pair of new shoes, and let's look at a nice outfit for you to run in that wicks and pulls the moisture away. But let's talk about your nutrition. And a big wall just went up because all of a sudden I went from being a helpful salesperson to somebody who's very, very annoying because you're asking them to give up something, a part of their life that they completely enjoy, and that is feeding themselves with whatever they want, whenever they want. And interestingly enough, we would automatically think that anybody who runs is always lean and fit. And the reality is most people who run nowadays are casual runners, meaning they don't run enough to have leanness. They're not living the elite athlete lifestyle, and so they're carrying extra body fat. If you show up to a marathon, you'll find that, you know, 50-60% of the people, I'm guessing, are all overweight, even though they're standing at the starting line of a marathon.
What are your thoughts about runners who run overweight? Is that healthy? Should they reduce the body fat first? Should they use running to reduce the body fat? What's your approach?
Well, I always talk about nutrition and the value of nutrition, and I always tell people, listen, there's folks out there that are skinny that don't exercise, and there's folks out there that exercise like crazy that are overweight. So let's be honest. What you put in your mouth, when you eat, what you eat, how you're eating it, it has a direct relationship to what your body looks like. And if you want, you can blame it on your mom and dad, but the reality is you don't have to live their life if you don't want to live their life. So let's talk about that first. And then I tell people, listen, you need to manage this in other ways. Strength training is a wonderful way to lose body fat. It's also a wonderful way to get a muscular skeletal system that can allow you to resist injury. And we talk about stretching and the benefit of that. And then we talk about just supplementation that they could use that might help them with their exercise cravings that come as a result of exercise, meaning if you're going to go for a longer run and you need to replenish, if you replenish correctly, you can minimize damage and increase a decrease recovery time. Or you can not eat after you run, go home at night after work, and then binge on potato chips all night long. So we try to help them with the stages of recovery and timing their carbohydrate so that they understand that sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it can be a bad thing too.
Now, your walls are lined with dietary supplements, which is unusual. Most running stores have some gels and some electrolytes. You're getting way beyond that. You've got some vitamins and minerals. And tell us about some of the products that you have and why you have them and why you combine them with your other apparel and shoes.
Yeah, the major thing that we have a lot of need for is people that are going over the 60 to 90 minute mark. I mean, most, even elite athlete has maybe 90 minutes of glycogen when he's like at top burn. So we've got people out there that might choose to do a half marathon or an Ironman triathlon or a full marathon, and they might spend 4, 5, 6 hours or 12 hours doing their chosen sport. And we've found a demand for products that will allow them to fuel themselves while they're exercising and competing. That's the first thing we have. So that consists of bars and gels and blocks, which are chewy, like gummy type stuff. But we also are taking the next step, which is carrying vitamin C, glucosamine, chondroitin, flaxseed oil, and all the basic armor, body armor, whey protein that an athlete would use coming from another realm that can allow them to regenerate and replicate themselves so that they can be a stronger, more vivacious athlete in the process of doing their chosen sport.
That's fantastic. That's such excellent, well-rounded service. It's great to see you doing that, Guy. Now, your store is very unique. You know, you go all out. I attended one of your staff meetings, which is fantastic. What are some of the practices that you incorporate into your business process? What makes your business unique the way it is? What's driving you? What is the uniqueness of your approach in your business that's making it successful?
Well, I'd like to think that we have a lot of things that are unique to our business, but at the end of the day, I'm not quite sure that we do. But the one thing that I think we do very well is we constantly communicate with the staff that everything revolves around the customer's needs and expectations. Like, the customer walks in the door, what are they here? What are they looking for? What can we do for them? And going above and beyond whatever expectation they may have. The world is full of people in business, in life, in pursuits that they enjoy that just do like a mediocre job. And in our business, we've never once focused on money. It's never been a priority to us. We focused on taking care of the customer and meeting and exceeding expectations. And my experience has been, as a businessman, that money seems to follow people who put everything they have. an example that I like to use is watching athletics, and I grew up watching football, basketball, and playing all sorts of sport. And sometimes every now and then you see a guy out there that's not quite the greatest athlete in the world, but he's given everything he has to give, and you can see it on his face, and you can see it in every muscle as it ripples through his body. And man, at the end of the day, a guy like that deserves a standing ovation, because he may not be the fastest, and maybe he's not the most gifted or the strongest athlete, but very few people are willing to give everything it takes and dedicate everything they have and commit fully to the effort. That right there is the thrill for what we do, is trying to convince our people that every time somebody comes in, treat them like you would a secret shopper. Treat them, as you would say, Corey, like your family, your mom or your dad or your brother, and give them everything that you think will meet or exceed their expectations. What they choose to buy is completely up to them, and how they choose to use it may be completely up to them once they leave the door. But while they're in your presence, you're sharing with them everything that you have learned and constantly attempting to learn more to communicate to them the value of what you're providing to them. That right there is what it's all about for me.
That's wonderful. That's excellent. That's an incredible standard. Now, Guy, we mentioned, and you mentioned it too, that you have experienced this thing called cancer, and you survived it. You stood up against it. I'm just curious what you learned through this process and how it changed you, if it did, and how you reflect upon that experience today in your life and how that affects your day-by-day experience and your future.
Well, cancer is an interesting thing, and the first thing I like to let people know about my experience is that there are a lot of people who go through cancer who aren't as fortunate as I have been, and my heart goes out to anybody who's been involved in a circumstance where the results were less than desirable. Secondly, the cancer that I had and the time that we caught it made, even though it was cancer in and of itself, it became more of an inconvenience in my mind than cancer. My wife and I often talk about my experience, and we almost didn't even recognize fully what we were going through because we didn't like the story that we were being told. So we just did the best we could, and then when we didn't like what they had to say, we just kind of chose to change the story just a little bit to fit our expectations. That was 15 years ago, or 12 or 13 years ago anyway. Now looking back, I look at it as one of the most pivotal parts of my entire life. I can't think and imagine what Lance Armstrong may have gone through, but when Lance Armstrong commented that if I had to choose between 7 Tour de France wins and cancer, I would choose cancer all over again because cancer made me the man that allowed me to win 7 Tour de Frances. And that's exactly how I feel. If I had to choose between the success of my business or cancer, I would choose cancer because cancer is what changed my outlook and my perspective on life, that there are things that act and there are things that are acted upon. And if you in life are the person that is being acted upon, be it by life, be it by your family, be it by Western medicine, or be it by in a business dealing, your life prospect and quality of life is going to be marginal at best. But if you're the guy who's acting, who's always positively pushing and prodding and looking for more and taking everything you can and wondering how the best way to apply it is, that to me brings fulfillment. And that's what cancer taught me. I had this vision or belief or paradigm that I could be healthy and fit all the days of my life without doing any more than I had to. And the reality is, as we age, our bodies change, and we have to work harder and smarter than we did before. And in business, sometimes things don't work the way they did 5 years ago because the customer's more savvy. And so it taught me the importance of empowerment. And pivotal for me was understanding the role of Western medicine. And after 4 or 5 years of working with their treatments, and realizing that it wasn't working, having the strength of character to stand up and say, I've done it your way. If I do it anymore, it's going to get me only the same results. I want to try this and then this and this. And if you can't, or if you won't, or if it doesn't work, tell me now because I'm out the door. And that's what I did. I left the world of Western medicine, went looking for a better answer. To my wife's credit, she helped me find it. And I'm all the better as a result of it.
Amazing. Simply amazing. You know, Tracy and I, We talked about you and Debbie and your family, your five beautiful kids. You know, we know that you are, you're all spiritually inclined. There's love that's obvious in the family. You're dedicated to wholeness, to complete foods, to exercise. Just an excellent standard. It's almost like, I don't know, watching the Waltons to some degree. Of course, we all have to deal with the stress of life and the struggle that it presents. So what are some of the life principles that you run and organize your life by, these principles that are obvious to the success that you're having managing your family and your own personal life?
Well, for me in my life, and I would never attempt to proclaim that what I do would work for everybody else, but for me, I put God first. I believe there's a greater source in life, a greater source of information, of knowledge, and I put that being in my life first, and I put the family second. And as a result of God and family being first and second, that relegates myself and business to third place, or third place on the ladder, third rung on the ladder. And I have found through my experience that brings value and joy to my life. At work, I finally realized one day, like, there's always more to do. There's always something that's cropping up. So I just, at the end of every day, you know, as I walk out the door, it's like, you know, worlds may collide and millions may die, but I've done all I can do. And magically, I show up the next day, and there it was waiting for me. But there's other things in life that can't wait, and that is personal development and enlightenment. And also my family relationships with my children and my wife, that are the most important thing that I have. And somebody who's looked at death in the face, so to speak, I began to cherish family a lot more closely than I may have growing up. I realized one day, driving down the freeway, every morning while I commute to work, there's accidents along the way, and some days there's people that left for work and they're not coming home. And did they say things to their wife the day before, or that morning, did they say things to their children that they meant, and so their children knew where they stood, or do they have something that they might regret? And my wife and I read a book about a man who had a living funeral, which was, he was dying of cancer, and he gathered everybody around him, and they talked about his life as they would have at his funeral, and that's what I want my life to be. If I don't have a funeral when I die, and nobody has nothing good to say, that's fine. As long as that's all come to the surface beforehand, I'm a happy man. You know what I mean?
Right on, man. Right on. That's completely awesome. Listen, tell us about your website now, Guy. Spell out the address, and what do you offer on that site?
The website is saltlakerunningco.com, saltlakerunningco.com. So Salt Lake Running Company, abbreviated.com. We offer, first of all, a lot of information and knowledge, resources that we've used, articles that I've written, articles that my wife, Debbie, who is a CSNA master, has written, and information about nutrition, strength training, stretching, training programs. We also have an online portion where we sell shoes, accessories, apparel, gear that somebody might use for running and triathlon. We offer services through the website, like Debbie does seminars on a yearly basis. We do teaser runs or long runs for marathons. We do primer workouts, which are brick workouts for triathlon. All of that stuff can be found online. And online for us has become very powerful. We're actually in the middle of a new website revision that will go live 60 days from now. Very excited about all the changes that we're making. And so if anybody were to check at the website now, that would be wonderful. And if they could check back in 60 to 90 days, and any thoughts or feelings they might have that they could pass along, just hit the contact button and shoot me an email. I'd be more than happy to take positive and or negative feedback. Trust me, I can take it.
Yeah, that's remarkable, and thank you very much for that. And so everyone out there, students, members, everyone listening to this audio edition, take Guy up on that offer. Get to that website. If you have a client that's into running, if you are thinking about running yourself or want more information on running, this is the man, and he and his wife Debbie have really got this thing down pat, and so all the answers to the questions most commonly asked will be found there. Well, Guy, our time is gone. It's been just an incredible interview. I really want to congratulate you on on a job well done. I don't mean just business. I mean just life in general. Just getting to know you. I see you now as a complete individual, a real champion of champions. If you were given just a moment in time to say a final send-off to a fellow runner, what would that be?
I think follow your heart, chase your dreams, and never forget what's inside of you, and never abdicate or give your own power to anybody else for any reason.
Guy Perry is in Ogden, Utah. He is the CEO, president, and founder of Sporting Souls Incorporated. Very well known, very well educated, and as an elite athlete and an experienced businessman, Guy, we thank you very much.
You're welcome, Corey. Thanks for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.